Hallelujah. You realize there's no one greater. There's none beside him. Hallelujah. You know, we've come into this place and, you know, we hope to receive something, but the bottom line is hopefully we've come into this place so that he could receive something from us. Because it's really, I'll be honest with you, because of Christ, it's really no longer about us. It's all about him. So when we come into the church, I realize that we've got stuff. We're dealing with issues of life. We're walking through, you know, some trials. I know that. But you know what? If we'll come into this place and really have an attitude that says, God, it's really not about my stuff. It's not about my issues. It's not about my the things that are falling apart in my life. It's really all about you. And when we rotate our attention that direction, it's quite interesting because those things just seem to grow strangely dim, the Bible says. Lord, there's none like you. There's none like you, Father God. Father, we come into this place right now in this attitude of worship. And we just want to remind ourselves, Father, that it really is all about you. And Father, I just pray in the few short moments that we have together, Lord, there might be some that might have come into this place and they're just struggling. I just pray, Father, that you would just meet them where they are. Lord, there's an opportunity, Lord, for individuals to say to you, Lord, there's one last chance that I'm going to give you. And Father, I believe that tonight could be that answer to that question they're dealing with. It might be the healing in their body that they're just desperately seeking. It might be the direction that they just seem confused about. And Father, I just believe, Father God, that you're that kind of God. Because when we focus our attention on you, the word says, Heavenly Father, that if we'll seek you first, in your kingdom, in your righteousness, everything that we have need of. Last time I checked, God, everything meant everything. Everything we have need of will be added unto us. And so, Father, we just believe, Lord, that in our few short moments that we have together, Father, you will be high and lifted up. You will be glorified. And we, as your people, will leave changed because we've come encounter with you, the living God. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated if you can. I'm so proud to be here with you. And on this Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, it's always a challenge, you know, for ministering, you know, on holidays. You know, because you don't know, do you want to do a holiday message or do you want to do something else? And so I'm gonna do my very best to kind of mix it all up. Is that all right, guys? You know, how many of you were in church this morning with Pastor? Most of you. Some of you maybe didn't get to make it because of one reason or another. And so I'm just going to address a little bit about Memorial Day today. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to do me a favor and turn to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, and then following that we'll be in Romans chapter 9. For 2 Peter chapter 1 and Romans chapter 9. And tonight, if I were to give ourselves a title, I mean, I know that some people go driving for those or they try to write their own. And you know, you know, as a minister, you try to come up with the ones people remember. And you know what? 99% of the time, you just fall short. Let them come up with their own title. But I thought I'd give you an understanding as to what our talk will be about tonight. And as I was praying about this, I just thought about it. It's the insignificant became significant. You are shaped for significance. I want you to know that. Say this with me. I am shaped for significance. You have a destiny for significance. When you stop and think about it, that word significance is an incredible word. The word significance out of the original, and I'm talking about, when I talk about the original dictionary, I'm talking about Webster's 1828. I'm sorry, that's a little late. 1828. He says this, it's the quality of being important, the quality of having notable worth or influence. Say, I have worth. I have influence. When you look at the understanding of significance, I wanted to take you to a scripture that you guys already know. And I want to read it from a little bit of a different translation. If you have your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. And I want to read it to you out of the Message translation. He says this, the author writes this, he says, because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attention before it. This is the post to which I have been assigned, keeping you alert with frequent reminders, and I'm sticking to it as long as I live. You know, that's an incredible passage of scripture because Peter's saying, he's saying, guys, I know you've heard these things and you might already be established and rooted and grounded in these things. But the way that the message version or translation pulls it out, he says this, he says, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attend your attention to it. He says, this is my post in which I've been assigned. As Memorial Day, you know, is tomorrow, you know, I've heard statements and read things on Facebook like I'm sure many of you have. And there's a picture of one of the individuals that I came across, and it was of a lady, and she's lying prostrate on the grave of an individual. And she and the tagline, and some of you may have seen it, it's a tagline, it says Memorial Day. It's not a national barbecue day. Anybody see that one? I think I'm paraphrasing it just briefly, but it's not a national barbecue day. Now, you know, hopefully the rain will subside and we'll get to enjoy some hot dogs and hamburgers tomorrow if we choose to. But Memorial Day is much more than that. Memorial Day is a very significant day of the year. It is a day in which we remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice in battle. And like I shared with you, when we talk about significance, when we talk about the importance of this, it's the quality of being important. So this is an important day, but in understanding, translating, and bringing significance to our present day understanding, there's several things that the Lord just began to kind of, I don't know, have you ever had one of those moments where you just got a bunch of thoughts and you just kind of threw them on a piece of paper and you hope they eventually make sense? That's kind of what I did tonight, and so hopefully you'll just have to muddle through with me. As I was thinking about it, as we talk about significance, and as we talk about this, we are shaped for significance, the very first thing I want you to understand tonight is history reveals significance. Would you agree with me about that? History reveals significance. I can go back in my own life, and I can remember on December 11th, 1979, I can remember where I was when I got the news. On December 11th, 1979, I was a 10-year-old boy. I had walked in from my half a day at school because at lunchtime I went to school because that Monday I had been sick. So that Tuesday my morning, my mother let me sleep in, and at noontime I went to school. I was in the fifth grade. And so being in the fifth grade, went to school, state. I walked in my house. I'll never forget it. It was a history reveals significance. Walked into my house, and there was two gentlemen sitting on the couch along with my mother who was weeping and sitting on the floor. And on that day, I found out that my father had been killed at work. That was a very significant day for me. Anybody have any other significant days that they can look back on in their life? When we look at significance, we're not just talking about days. There are other things that are incredibly significant. You know, some of us have an iPhone. How many would have ever thought that 25 years ago we could have had a personal computer that we could put into our pocket? It's a very significant tool that we have. History reveals its significance. When we talk about the understanding of history revealing significance, I want you to understand in regards to Memorial Day, there's some incredible things that we need to think about. I trust that as you consider tomorrow, that it's not, like I said, a national barbecue day, but I want to give you some numbers and some information. The American Revolutionary War, 25,000 people died. War of 1812, 15,000. Now, these aren't people, these are U.S. individuals that died. War of 1812, 15,000. Civil War, 750,000. World War I, 116,000. World War II, 405,000. Korean War, 36,000. Vietnam, 58,000. Afghanistan, 2,200. The first Iraq conflict was 4,500. And the War on Terror, since 2001, we've had 6,700 people give their lives. U.S. soldiers give their lives. You know, after church this morning, my wife and I, we were driving down toward the mall for lunch. We went to a restaurant, drove past Floral Haven. Anybody drive by Floral Haven Cemetery today? How many of you saw all the flags that were flapping there? And I thought, that's pretty cool. And we decided as we were driving that we would pull in afterwards, because I don't know about you, but Pastor may say he's the most patriotic guy you know. I'm probably going to be right there with him. Pulled in there and we started to weep as we saw the flags just flapping. And then on all the graves that had was an individual that had served, there was a flag on each grave marker. But this entire cemetery was lined with beautiful stars and stripes. And we're driving around really slow, and it was funny because my daughter, Lauren, made a statement, and she said, "Dad, this is almost overwhelming." As you consider driving through that, and I've never been to Arlington Cemetery. I've never been to the tomb of the unknown soldier, but they had a replica of the tomb right there at Floral Haven, and I believe it's there all weekend. Is that not right, Dana? It's there all weekend. And there's some cadets, and they're walking in tow. They're replicating what's taking place that has taken place for years in Virginia. And as I was thinking about it, you know, as I was looking at what I was seeing, and it was raining out, and that soldier, although a replica, it overwhelmed me just seeing this cadet or this student. I'm not sure exactly who it was. But she was marching back and forth. I stopped for a minute and I thought about it. And you realize what's written on the tomb is very, very significant. And I've got some pictures of the tomb. I don't know if you guys have those pictures available of what it looks like in Arlington. But that's actually what the tomb looks like. And that's what the one that looks like over at Floral Haven. There's another picture there with a soldier walking back and forth. And as I watched that person walk back and forth, I was like, what is significant of that marching back and forth? Obviously, this message has been kind of rolling around in my head. And the statement on the tomb, it rests, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." He's a nameless soldier. Doesn't have a name. Known only to God. As I was thinking about it, those steps of that individual, and many people may or may not know that, but that soldier will take 21 steps. He'll stop for 21 seconds, make his turn for 21 seconds, make his final turn again for 21 seconds, and take 21 steps in honor of the 21-gun salute of that individual that had lost their life. Never knew that until I started doing some research on it myself. The sentinel will repeat this over and over and over again until they're released by the next guard. How many of you know that the 21 steps have an incredible significance? How many of you know that that tomb has incredible significance? But what caught me and what drove me to the thought process that I have for you at this moment is just the very last statement that's on that tune, "known but to God." As I was thinking about Memorial Day, it's important to remember those that had fallen, and I wanted to take a moment to remember some other folks that are in the Word of God. Do you know that there's a lot of people in our Bibles, guys, that have no name? They're individuals that we have studied and we have read, and I'm telling you, even from our pulpits have been preached about, but they don't have a name. They do, but they're known only to God. They're known only to God, but you know what? These individuals have incredible significance. Guys, we are grateful for history, and it reveals events of significance. But another significance is not just the significance that is revealed through history, but purpose produces significance in us. We understand that history and events and times and people that we come in contact with can create incredible significance in our life. But do you realize that purpose produces significance? I want to ask you a question, and you may be the only one in the room that has ever asked this question. Have you ever asked God the question, why me? Anybody, just make me feel good about myself, that I'm not the only one left alone. Why me? When we start considering the purpose, that purpose produces significance, I wanted to take you to the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans is an incredible story, and for the most part, we know this story because it's the story of the potter and the clay. It's the story where God has the ability to form and fashion that which would he wants. Amen? The Bible says this in the book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse number 20. And I want to read that to you out of the King James translation, if that's all right. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 20, it says this, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hast not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also to Osi, I will call them my people, and they were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it came to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, here shall ye be called the children of the living God." You know, what's interesting, as I read that passage of Scripture, I started pulling some of those verses by other translations, and I found it quite interesting. When you read that verse 20, that's the verse I want to zero in on tonight for just a few moments. It says this in the New Living's translation of verse number 20. It says, "No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this?" Go with me, if you will, to the Message translation. The Message translation says this, "Who in the world do you think you are to second guess God? Do you for one moment suppose any of us knows enough to call God into question? Clay doesn't talk back to the fingers that mold it, saying, why did you shake me like this?" When you stop and think about that passage of Scripture, when it says, why did you shape me like this? What you begin to do is you begin to determine your own significance rather than relying on what God sees as significant. I know for in my own life, I'm a driven individual. I mean, I push and I push and I push and I push and I... But because of my personality, I know there are moments in my own life that I tried to create my own significance rather than allow God to create it for me. And see, when I try to create my own significance, how many times have you ever tried to do that and it kind of fell flat? But when God exalts you, it's an amazing thing because there's nothing man can do about it. Those promotions come when God brings you the increase, when God puts you on that next level. But see, we try to do it by ourselves. When we talk about this element of that purpose produces significance, I found it interesting as I read further in the Message, it says this. It says, "Why did you shape me like this? Isn't it obvious that the potter has perfect right to shape one lump of clay into a vase for holding flowers and another pot for cooking beans? If God needs one style of pottery especially designed to show his angry displeasure and another style carefully crafted to show his glorious goodness, isn't that all right? Either or both happens to Jews, but it also happens to other people. Hosea put it well, I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies." Hallelujah. God's interested in turning a nobody into a somebody. Say, I'm a somebody. If God is interested in transitioning an individual from a nobody to a somebody, wouldn't you say that I'm significant? Yes. Amen? Why would God waste his time on something that's insignificant? Can we stop with that as a question? The question that I've been kind of throwing around that kind of was the metamorphosis of this message, as I read that passage, it says, why have you made me like this? Why did you create me this way? Why is my life like this? And I thought to myself about all the people in the Bible that may have said that. But yet, as I stopped and I thought about it, I thought, you know what? They made the book. They're nameless individuals that had incredible significance, and they made the book. They've even been preached about. They've been ministered about. In fact, one of those individuals that we're going to talk about for a moment is almost one of the foundations and bedrock of ministry here. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But let me ask you a question. These individuals have been written about in our Bible, and we read about them over and over again, and some of them may have been given their name, and some of them, they've never had their name mentioned at all. Let me ask you this question. Why would God ask someone to write about you? See, when you stop and pull back, and I don't know if you read your Bible differently than I do, but I read my Bible and I'm thinking to myself, of all these people that have never, they don't have a name, we don't know anything about them other than what's been communicated in these few short passages. But I have to stop and ask myself a question. Would God ask anybody else to write about me that way? Because you realize that this entire book that we're reading is God-breathed. It's God-ordained. It's been anointed by the Holy Ghost. And there's nothing in this book that's insignificant. There's nothing in here that we should just gloss over and pass by. Every word from this book has been breathed forth from God above. And something that these people did became incredibly significant. I find that there are people within the body of Christ that struggle with their significance all the time because they're attempting to become or be something that they're not or they weren't designed to be. You know, it's interesting to me. I was thinking about a group of people that may just struggle. You know what? We've got people in our church. And this isn't to pick anyone out in particular. This is just random thoughts. I was thinking, we've got people that are painters. We've got people in our church that are doctors, and we've got single moms in our church. We've got single dads in our church. We've got people that sell cars, and we've got people that sack groceries. We've got people that sell telephones, and we've got... But in all of those things, if we're not careful, the single mom would say to God, where's my significance, God? The person selling the Verizon cell phone might daily be going to work every single day, and they might be saying, God, where's my significance in selling this phone? There's painters in the building, and they might be painting walls and just trimming out trim, and they might just be saying, God, where is my significance in this painting? There might be individuals that are selling cars and say, God, what, you know, you created me for something. Why am I selling cars? And what you begin to do is you begin to ask yourself this question, God, why have you made me this way? Why have you put me in this circumstance? You have put me in this situation. But you know what? When you read that passage of Scripture, you find that God has a unique and distinct and an intentional purpose for everything that he creates. Say, I have a purpose, and my purpose is significant. See, the challenge in finding out what that purpose is to determine your significance. The significance has already been established by God, but it's up to you and I to determine what that is. It's up to you and me to find that place and that definition. Although we're encouraged throughout the Word of God to constantly press toward the mark, you know, which means it says, hey, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to press in. I'm going to strive to achieve. But you know what? When you read that, the Darby translation of that verse in Philippians 3:14, he says this: I pursue looking towards the goal for the prize of the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. In that same effort of pressing toward the mark, you and I have a responsibility to be content. Because just a chapter later, the Amplified says this in Philippians 4:11, it says, not that I have implied that I was in any personal want, for I have learned now to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. Hallelujah. I'm pressing toward the mark. I've not apprehended, but you know what? At the same time, I'm happy. My spirit is not disquieted. I am not discouraged. Hallelujah. Why? Because what? We determine our significance by not in our doing, by in our being. By being in that person that God has called and created each and every one of us to be. See, the understanding is there's significance that can be determined through history. There's significance that can be understood and recognized through the manifestation of purpose. But do you realize that there are pretty significant people in the Bible that made the book? And so what I want to do tonight is in just a very short amount of time, I want to just mention to you a couple of these individuals. You get to go study them on your own. But we've talked a little bit about the history produces significance. We understand that finding our purpose is revealed in significance, but there's attributes of significant people. And when we talk about the attributes of significant people, if I were God and I was to write something about you, I'm just going to give you five of these attributes. Because you know what? As I was studying about these nameless people in the Bible, there are a lot of incredible attributes. When we start looking at the attributes of individuals, you can go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. We're not going to take the time to go there, but it's the story of the woman that was with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. The very first thing that I want to share with you is this: an attribute of an individual with incredible significance is a person who's persistent. That's an attribute of an individual with significance. This person was persistent. When we look at that woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she was in the press behind. And what did she do? She forced herself through the group to just simply but touch the hem of his garment. See, persistent people make significant strides toward the one who's going to be the supplier and the answer of everything they have. We don't quit. We don't stop. Sometimes Christians, and I'm going to talk about some in our church, they'll quit just shy of the blessing. They'll quit just shy of the healing. They'll quit just shy of the outpouring because it's too hard. You know what? It's interesting to me that there aren't many people that are written about, nameless people that didn't do it right. There's a lot of good stories in there about people that were persistent. And when you look at that passage of Scripture, you understand that persistence is the ability to endure in the face of adversity. It is patient and it is the unrelenting effort to achieve and to despite any difficulty. That woman with the issue of blood is an incredible illustration. We don't have a name for this lady, but she's a significant character in the Bible. And one of the most amazing attributes of who she is she was a persistent person. Say, I'm going to be a persistent person. Another attribute that I want to share with you is there's this little story in John chapter 4, verse number 5. There's this story of Jesus, and he walks up on a well. There's a lady drawing water all by herself. She's pulling water. They get into a conversation, and the Samaritan woman, and they begin to talk. He begins to tell about all of her life. And one of the other attributes that I find of a significant individual is that they're self-aware. They know what's going on around them. They know where they are. They know who they are. They know what they've done. They know their character and their personality. You know, it's interesting when you understand the definition of being self-aware. It's the understanding and the knowledge of who you are including your skills, your values, your interests, your behaviors, and your character. This woman was self-aware. When Jesus began to speak with her and talk to her about her circumstances and situation, he said, the man that you're with, is he not even your husband? You've been married quite a few times. And all of a sudden the woman goes, whoa, you must be a prophet. But you know what? She didn't run off based on what was going on. She said, yep, that's me. She listened to him. Because she determined that his intention for her was a significant interaction. What did she do? The Bible says, you go back and read John chapter 4, and in the very end of the chapter, we find that she went back into her city, called the man that she was living with, told the people of her community, this man told me everything about my life, and it's true and it's right, and let me introduce you to this Jesus that I've just met. We don't know her name. But how many of you know she was extremely self-aware? And as a result of being aware of who she was and the situation she was in, guess what she did? She touched a community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third thing is this, and we can find many stories of these, but you know what? How many of you know there's a little boy with a couple of Ritz crackers and some fish? Right? Anybody know the name of this little boy? We don't know this little boy's name. There's another illustration in that. You can go to John chapter 6 and read that, or you could go to Luke 21 and you can read about another little lady. And it's this little woman, and she was in church, and she took the last two pennies out of her pocket, and she walked down with nobody seeing her, knowing what she was doing, took her offering, and she put it in the offering bucket. Another attribute that I find of very significant people is that they're generous and they're willing. When you look at an individual that is significant, they have a heart and they have a generosity that is just exuding from them. That woman probably took the very last that she had, put it into that offering. We find this little boy that wasn't trying to make a name for himself, because we never got his name. We never got this woman's name, but their heart of generosity and their willingness to give made the book. It's an attribute of significance if you stop and think about it. Another attribute that I find was in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And again, for the sake of time, we're not going to go through all of these, but 2 Kings tells us of a story. There's a lady and her husband has died, and they're about to lose everything that they've got. And we find that the prophet comes by the house and says, what's the matter? She says, well, we're about to lose everything that we've got. He says, what do you have? And she said, all I've got left is just a little bit of a vial full of oil. And the prophet says to her, he says, hey, do me a favor. Take a little bit of time and get as many pots as you possibly can find. Goes and finds all of these different pots and puts them all together, and he says, now begin to pour the oil into those pots. Nothing through the story do we ever indicate her name. But you know what's interesting about this individual? This individual was obedient. The significance of this nameless widow who was about to lose everything, the significance of this nameless widow was that she was obedient even when it didn't make sense. Guys, there are times that God will speak to your heart about something and you're going to go, huh? Think about it. Have this conversation with yourself. You're sitting back watching this discourse go on, and the prophet says, what have you got? I've got a little vial of oil. Okay, get as many pots as you can find. For what? Right? Would any of you do that? I would have done that probably. But because of her instant obedience, what begins to happen? The oil begins to flow. She was able to pay off the debtors and be able to survive. How many of you are so grateful when you know you're instantly obedient? But how many of you know, I'm one of you, there are times that I'm not instantly there. And it would make me wonder, would I get my name written down? Just simply because I don't have that response. I'd look at the prophet and go, seriously? Bunch of pots. All right, I'll go find some pots.
So we've talked about a couple of issues. We've talked about significance, is attributes of significant individuals is they're persistent, they're self-aware, they're individuals who are generous and willing, and they're individuals who are instantly obedient. But this is one that I thought would be a good one to end on. And again, I could share a whole bunch with you. Because I started writing them down and I thought, in fact, my daughter was looking at me and she goes, "How many pages of notes have you got, Dad?" And I go, "Far too many." She said, "Okay, whittle it down." When I start writing and I had a list, it was about 12 or 15 different characters that I went through the Bible and created attributes from. Another day, another message. All right, guys? Last one I want to share with you is this, though. It's an incredible story. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14, if you will. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to get ready to close. Everybody doing okay tonight? Mark chapter 14. Guys, we're just talking about significance. Each one of us are destined for significance. Mark chapter 14, it's an incredible story, and it starts in verse number 12. Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed. Judas is about to betray him, and what we find in verse number 12, we find that they're getting prepared and getting ready for the Last Supper. Jesus says in verse number 13 of the New Living Translation, he said, "So Jesus sent two of them to Jerusalem to make the arrangements. As you go to the city," he told them, "a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Says, follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room and is already set up. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare our supper there.'" Got a nameless guy. Got another nameless fella. And in looking at this individual, what we find is the man with the water pot. One of the things that I thought was really cool is he was just available. A significant individual, an attribute of a significant person is one who is available. And when we talk about being available, we're talking about a person who is suitable or ready for use for service. You know what, guys? God's asking us all the time to accomplish, do, become. The challenge is in many respects, are we ready and are we available? Most of us will say, "Well, I've just gotten married," and that's another passage. And some of us have said, "Well, I've just bought land and I've got to go check it out. I've just done this and I've just done that." And we've got the excuses of why we're not available. And as a result, our significance is limited because we're not ready and we're not able and we're not available for when God calls upon us. The person who is available is a person who is suitable or ready for use or service. Say this with me. Say, "I'm ready."
I'm ready.
All right. The last thing that I want to share with you is this. You know, we've talked a little bit about history. That history reveals significance. We mentioned a few moments ago that purpose produces significance. We shared a few thoughts about the attributes of significant people, but the last thing I want to share with you is three very simple steps toward fulfilling your significance. And I realize that there are people in this room that are still trying to figure out what God's doing in their life, but there's three simple things that I want to encourage you with. Number one is it's important to know who you are. It's important to know who you are. And there's so many scriptures that we can go through, guys, to tell you who you are. You've been bought with a price. Amen? You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible tells us over and over again that we've been adopted and we are now known as children of the Most High God. You need to know who you are. I teach this in my my church planting class, these three elements, because you know what? As a pastor or a person going into ministry or anybody stepping forth to do anything in life, number one needs to know who they are. Not only spiritually, but also naturally. I realize I will never be a rocket scientist. Because I know myself. I hate math. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? I don't like math. It's just not in me. I don't have any desire to teach it or to learn it or to understand it. So I will forever be envious of those that are rocket scientists. No, I'm just kidding. The first thing you need to know is you need to know who you are. The second thing you need to understand is you need to like who you are. Single mom, love who you are. Single dad, love who you are. Retired couple, love your station and place in life. Begin to understand and know. Not only do you need to know who you are and understand all of the ramifications that go with that, but you need to like that position. You need to like who you are. And the last thing that I want to share with you is this. Be that person. In other words, I would say it to you this way. Be who you are. I don't know that the woman with the issue of blood, I don't know if the man that was ever determined to be the person that, I don't know if the person that was the man with the water pot, I don't know that the little boy with the loaves and the fishes, I don't know with the woman with the mite, I don't know whether or not the widow with the oil, I don't know if any one of these individuals ever had it in their mind that they were going to end up in the greatest selling book of all time. But how many of you realize that they have incredible significance? Guys, I want to challenge you as you go out in life this week. I don't want you to consider yourself less than what God thinks of you. When I look at that passage of scripture, you know what? If God's willing to make me a certain way, if he's willing to form me a certain way, if he's recognizing that something needs to be created or removed from me, amen. Guess what? I get to be what God wants me to be. And there's an incredible humility, but there's also an incredible strength that comes from that. Don't ever say to the Creator, "Why have you created me this way?" But rather say, "Thank you, God, for allowing me to be this way so that I could impact your kingdom for the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Everybody close your eyes. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven. I want you out of your own mouth just simply to say thank you, Father, for what you've done in me, what you're doing in me, the molding and the making and the shaping and the shifting in me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've created these people in this congregation to have incredible significance. Lord, they have an opportunity to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, there was 120 in the upper room, and in this room, we've got far more than that. And if 120 can transform the globe, I believe that what's sitting in this room has incredible significance to do the very same. Father, we're going to choose to be persistent this week. We're going to choose to be available this week. We're going to choose to be generous and willing this week, Father. We're willing, Father, to allow all of the attributes of significance to be revealed in us. So, Lord, that you might be glorified in everything that we do, in everything that we say, and in everything that we think. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the prayer team's coming forward right now, and I want to invite them to come forward. You know what? You might just be dealing. Something I might have said just might have pricked you. You know, you're just realizing, hey, you know what? I'm struggling in that significance issue. And you know what? It's okay. Don't come under condemnation for that. But allow yourself the opportunity to hook up with somebody and pray with you so that you would recognize and know and understand you have incredible worth with an incredible God. Because remember what the passage said in the book of Hosea, God is going to take a nobody and turn them into a somebody. So you may be thinking in this room that you're nobody. It's not how God sees you. Has no intention of allowing you to stay that way either. You might be in this place and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You know what I want to do is I want to invite you to meet him tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. I want to take a moment. Pastor does this every service, and we try to accomplish this in every service. If you are in this place and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to meet him tonight. Would you raise your hand? You might just say to me, Bob, I've just never met this Jesus you're talking about, or I met him a long time ago and I chose to do it my own way and it didn't work. And you're in this place and you just want to get things right with God right now. Would you just kindly just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. If you would just raise your hand, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Praise the Lord. Anybody in this place? With your head still bowed and your eyes closed, if you're in this place and you recognize that, you know what? You've thought of yourself as less significant than you should, and you're dealing with that right now, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray over you real quick. Some of you in this room, you're just struggling with significance right now in areas of your life. You recognize that something that was said, something that was, praise the Lord. Father, I just pray for these that raise their hand right now. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you touch them and allow them to recognize, Heavenly Father, the fullness of why they were created to accomplish your perfect work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for my guests and visitors, if you would go with our connection team right now, we have a simple gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen we want to put into your hands. And it won't take but a few moments. If you'll go with them, during the service, we put together this gift and we want to give it to you right now. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, don't forget, check all of the things that are going on in your bulletin. Stay connected. This is an incredible church. Stay connected to what's going on because it'll make this really big place small. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. God bless you and have a great week. Stay dry if you can.